KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies. It's 23 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you this morning by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In area news, two public hearings are set to take place this evening in Walnut as part of the regular meeting of the Walnut City Council. The first is with regard to the fiscal year 2017-18 budget. The second pertains to a 2017 amendment to the Urban Renewal Plan. Later on in the meeting, the council will vote on a resolution adopting the FY 2017-18 budget and Urban Renewal Plan. In other business, the Walnut City Council will act on giving permission to a local couple for the use of the city park during Walnut Junk Fest, a request for additional residential driveway entrance, and two separate requests for financial participation in residential sidewalk replacement. Among the discussion items on their agenda this evening are those pertaining to the well project, billboard repair, planting boxes on Atlantic Street, concession stands at the City Park, and the Walnut Antique Show. The Walnut City Council meeting will be held at City Hall in Walnut beginning at 5 p.m. Elsewhere in area news, members of the Exira EHK School Board will meet during a work session this evening beginning at 6 o'clock. And during their session in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building, the school board will discuss but take no action on the Estes Construction Facility Assessment. Governor Branstad is appointing a couple of ex-state legislators to serve on the panel that governs the three state-supported universities. One spot on the Board of Regents opened up when Bruce Rastetter, the board president, announced in early February that he would not be seeking another term. The governor on Tuesday selected three people to the nine-member board. They include Nancy Butker, a former Republican state senator from Harlan, and Nancy Dunkel, a Democrat from Dyersville, who served one term in the Iowa House. And Branstad is reappointing Sherry Bates of Scranton to the Board of Regents. Current regent Katie Mulholland had also sought reappointment to the board, but she was left off the governor's list. Branstad's regent appointments must be confirmed by the Iowa Senate. Less than 4 months after the 2016 elections were held, a candidate other than David Young has announced his intention to run for Iowa 3rd District's congressional seat. Mike Sherzan, a Democrat who resides in Dallas County, announced Wednesday his candidacy for Congress in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. Sherzan is running to take on Republican Congressman David Young in the 2018 midterm election. In a press release, Sherzan says, like most Iowans, I'm fed up with Washington politicians. Iowans deserve a progressive leader who will be a champion for working class families. It's time, he says, to change the system that serves the interests of career politicians, and that's why he's decided to run for Congress. Sherzan graduated from the University of Iowa. At the age of 39, he started his own financial services firm in Des Moines, broker-dealer financial services. His company grew into an Iowa-based 60-employee firm with over 250 representatives and 35,000 customers in Iowa and across the country. After 25 years of helping Iowans save for retirement and fund for their children's college education, Sherzan's camp says that he retired from his employee-owned business. He and his wife, Susan, have been married for 40 years, and he says he's the proud father of three and grandfather of seven. A crowd of about 70 people showed up at the Bridgewater Community Building Tuesday evening to partake in an organizational meeting designed to spark community support for ridding the town of drug dealers and users. Doug Miller is a spokesperson for the Take Back Bridgewater, Iowa, an initiative he created after he became aware of an Adair County road rock pile with the word meth spray painted on it and an arrow pointing toward Bridgewater.
My anger about this sign came from taking my five-year-old to preschool, who is learning uppercase letters, and as we drove by the pile, he said, "Daddy, what is M-E-T-H?" And my anger, my frustration infuriated me to the point of, as a citizen of Bridgewater who doesn't want to see our proud community going down this path, somebody has to take a stand and somebody has to lead.
Miller says he can't solve the problem alone. He needs to have volunteers and support from the community, and that's what he's seeing since he created a Facebook page for the initiative, especially the overwhelming support it garnered during Tuesday night's meeting. Miller said he never underestimates the citizens of the community that he's lived in and worked in for most of his life.
We originally had set up a dozen chairs, and then we went to 20, and then we went to 50, and we got to 70, and we were wondering whether we'd have enough or not. It was just overwhelming response.
The drug user and dealer community is not going down without a fight, though. Miller says when a Central Iowa television station was in town prior to the meeting Tuesday night and allowed train horn went off. The catch is there is no train that goes through Bridgewater or anywhere near there. There hasn't been any railroad activity for years because the tracks are long gone.
There is an entity in town that has a train horn. The train horn is sounded when they know cops are in town, and that's the sign to the others, entities in town, to be on the lookout that cops are in town. And they just so happened, as he was shooting footage, that he got sound of this, and so that hit the news story. But the explanation of what the train horn was not there.
Miller said the horn can be heard for up to 5 miles away. It's loud and obnoxious, and an investigation is underway into who's setting off the siren. He said the community will continue to find ways to fight meth and drug use, and Miller said a planning committee meeting will be held in the next 2 weeks to put together an action plan. The next meeting will be an open session with invitations going out to Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater and city council members so the committee can ask them questions, not put them on the hot seat. In the funeral announcements, Troy Michael Bomstad, age 50, who's formerly of Irwin, died February 18th in Virginia. Memorial services for Troy Bomstad will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ardella Schlichty, age 82, of Audubon, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Ardella Schlichty will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Richard Armantrout, age 84, of Irwin, died Sunday. Services for Richard Armantrout will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Les Brew, age 99, a longtime Audubon resident, recently of Iowa City, died Wednesday in Iowa City. A memorial service for Les Brew will be held at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon at a later date. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.